Nation's premier forum for news, views, and up-to-date information. Here's Andy Udman.
They have been knocking on doors all weekend, and the message I'm hearing from liberals is unanimous. They are upset, they are disgruntled, and they have told me in no uncertain terms that they will not be voting liberal this by-election. And this is coming from liberals who have voted liberal in the last three elections. They said they're not doing it this time.
Feeling as though the Premier's office parachuted Ken Curran into the candidacy, London West Liberal Party member Dan Foster says this doesn't look good with the Liberals and the high school teachers striking a deal on contracts.
The optics here are amazing. I can't even believe that someone thinks that this is a good idea.
The Premier's office, however, maintains choosing a candidate is a local process. The Tories are scratching their heads at this choice.
He wrote a confidential memo to the OSSTF stating that he was responsible for bringing Premier McGuinty down.
MPP Rod Jackson underlines his party is ready to fight in all five upcoming by-elections.
So the question this Tuesday morning, hope you had a great long weekend. Welcome to the show. How badly does this nomination meeting in London West tonight smell? Or do you salute the London West Liberals for getting a top gun candidate like Ken Curran? I'm asking you, which side are you taking? Does the nomination meeting smell, or do you salute the Liberals for getting a top gun candidate? Are you comfortable with the Liberals preordaining their candidate? And how about the choice? The guy who personally led the effort to take our kids hostage for a year, stealing from them their extracurricular activities? Ken Curran, the candidate who bashed the McGuinty government for a year over its dispute with teachers, campaigning for the NDP last fall in Kitchener, now suddenly a liberal. Kumbaya. And the question, obviously, what has he been promised? Education minister? Good morning, London. It is Tuesday. We're into the month of July, July 2nd. Notice all the folks not at the office this morning. Have you noticed that? Kids are out of school and Disney World, here we come. Also on the show, what appears to have been a kidnap attempt in London involving a five-year-old girl, a suspect now in custody thanks to someone with a camera. Might this have been another Tory Stafford tragedy? We also saw a shocking child abduction caught on camera at a Walmart store on the weekend in Oklahoma. A heroic police effort saving the child. How dangerous is it for kids today with an internet on which child porn is one of the fastest growing sites? On the roads on the holiday weekend, a pretty safe weekend overall by all accounts. We give the OPP full credit. Two horror stories we want to share with you and get your comment on. Nine teenagers in a car which flipped, two kids in the trunk. If you were a parent, who would you be angry at? And a car going the wrong way on the 401. The flooding disaster in Calgary. Should other Canadians buy new homes for the flood victims who don't have flood insurance? The night shift, what it does to your health, and a new law in China basically invoking the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, a law forcing you to contact your aging parents. Does that make any sense? But first this morning, the Liberal nomination meeting tonight in London West. Let me read you the official release. London West Riding Association to acclaim longtime Londoner Ken Curran as candidate. Scott Cordes, president of the London West Provincial Liberal Association, will be joined by Deb Matthews, MPP for London North Centre, and Chris Bentley, former MPP for London West, to celebrate the nomination of Ken Curran as the candidate for the riding of London West. I want to get your thoughts this morning. The phone lines are open. I want to get your thoughts on the way this is being handled. Is there anything about this thing which you applaud? To me, it smells top to bottom, but I want to hear your thoughts. 643-1290. The lines are open. Talk radio. We welcome all opinions, no matter what they are. First place I want to stop this morning is Dan Foster, who joined us on Friday morning. He's the liberal who started this fight, shall we say, amongst liberals. The Tories just love it. They're celebrating. The NDP just love it. They're celebrating. And I want to find out this morning what kind of a weekend it was for Dan Foster in London. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Good. Dan, we had quite a chat on Friday and an explosive talk show after we talked to you, after you blew the whistle on your fellow liberals. Has anything changed over the weekend?
Not really. I mean, I think we talked informally about the fact that I was still waiting for some kind of notification, and I've yet to receive that. I've checked with a few of my friends who I brought into the party in the fall, and neither have they. So I just say, what nomination meeting?
Okay, let me just, I just read this release. I'm just looking at when it was released. Last night, Monday, July the 1st, 7:58, 24 hours notice. Is that not enough notice for a nomination meeting?
Well, I don't think a member in good standing should have to hear about it in the press.
Okay, you're saying, Dan, in a nutshell, this thing was orchestrated out of Queen's Park. I'm looking at Saturday's Globe and Mail, the headline, Teacher Union Chief Opposed Liberals Now Will Run for the Party. And then in the article, it says, in a statement, Mr. Coran credited Ms. Wynn with persuading him to run for the party in a by-election to fill the London West seat left vacant by the resignation of former Energy Minister Chris Bentley. So this thing smacks of being orchestrated from the top down.
Well, you've obviously done your homework. It's clear to me that that something happened that's not democratic. Certainly nobody that I know of in the party, and keep in mind I'm fairly new to London West. I retired and moved here in October. The people that I brought into the party for the leadership campaign in the fall and over the winter clearly have not been notified yet of any meeting or any such call for nominations. And we're new to this process. We want to try to understand it. But it sure doesn't sound like much of a process.
Well, it is a great day for talk radio when you've got liberals bashing liberals and a liberal and a Tory who are on the same page on one issue. And so I want to bring into the conversation the same chap we had on Friday. And that, of course, is a Tory candidate, Ali Chabar. Hi, Ali.
Hey, Andy. How are you?
Well, we're picking up where we left off on Friday. Ali, I wonder if you can share with Dan what liberals have been telling you at the door on the weekend.
Well, I've knocked on the doors every single day since Friday, and I'm hearing this clear, unanimous message from not just liberals, but people right across the board. But, you know, I'm taken aback when I hear it from the liberals who say, you know, we can't support this guy. We can't support the liberals. And this is coming, Andy, from people who have told me that they have voted liberal in the last three elections, who've said they won't be doing it this time. And a lot of them are saying it has to do with the optics. As you said, it stinks. They're disgruntled. They're upset at the circumventing of the electoral process here. It is something to note that I had a contested Democratic nomination meeting back in December, at which point the local PC members got to vote on who they wanted to represent them in London West, and I was that person. And the NDP did the exact same thing only a couple months ago or so. They voted, they got their member. So it's essential that the local parties get a say in who represents them, and that doesn't appear to be the case right here in, with the Liberals in London West. It seems like a unilateral selection of a candidate to represent them without any consultation whatsoever with the local membership, as evidenced by your caller right now.
Okay, so Dan, so far you and Ali agree, and I just want to stick to the aspects of this that you and Ali agree on. Ali, what is it that the Liberals objected to about the process?
Well, they were saying to me, at its core, if you look at it from a grassroots democracy standpoint, a lot of the policies that we get come from Toronto, come from Queen's Park. A lot of the directives come from Toronto and Queen's Park. But one of the fundamental things we get to do at a local level is pick our candidates, is pick who represents us in the election. And what they told me was they're upset. They're saying, as Mr. Foster is saying to you right now, they didn't get any notice. They didn't get any heads up that the constitution of the Liberal Party was circumvented so that Kathleen Wynn could unilaterally import, parachute, select, whatever the word you want to choose, Ken Curran as the candidate here in London West, and they're mad as hell about it.
Okay, let's go to the phones. John, your thoughts this morning?
Andy, I kind of think this might be a much ado about nothing. Usually most people have no idea until the election comes up if there's going to be a candidate change, other than the people that are very high up in the Liberal Party riding. most of the people that vote, no matter what party it's for, just follow suit and vote for who the prospect is. I don't think it's really going to shake down to too much trouble for the Liberals. Now, I myself don't vote Liberal, but I don't think it's going to hurt them, because in a couple of weeks from now, the election is going to be on full tilt. The Liberals that vote Liberal are going to vote Liberal one way or the other. It doesn't matter what the name is there. They look at the sign. I think the only people that are going to be upset are that core that are the head of the Liberal riding. Their noses are out of joint.
John, what you say may be entirely true, but it is so insulting to every voter out there. They just look at the color of the sign. And that's how they vote? Is that what it's come down to, John?
Oh, I think it's been that way for years, Andy. I totally agree with what you just said there. It is an insult, but it is that way with every party. It's, you know, the big signs, the colors. There's a lot of thought that goes into how they design their signs. It's sound bites, pictures, and signs. That's what it comes down to, and that's why the signs are starting to go up now, and it's fast and furious to get that name recognition out there. And the colors, of course.
Wow. Well, they're watching this from across the province. We have a call now from Rod Jackson, who's the Tory candidate, Tory MPP, rather, for the Barrie area. Good morning, Rod.
Morning. How are you?
Good. Are you watching from Barrie?
We're watching all the by-elections from Barrie, sure, yeah.
Well, what do you think of what's happening in the Liberal camp in London West tonight?
Well, you know, I think anytime there's a candidate parachuted in by a party, it's never a good thing, especially when it's not at the behest of the local organization, and that's what I understand has kind of happened in London.
Let me go back to Dan Foster for a moment, the Liberal who blew the whistle on all of this. Dan, let me ask you about the word parachute. It's a word that you have used, and yet we've taken a blast from local Liberals saying, how dare you call this a parachute candidate? Do you stand by the word parachute, the word that Rod just used?
Well, it appears that they don't like my choice of metaphors, so how about Jack in the Box or coronation? I mean, it's a metaphor, but the underlying principle here, and I think I'd take issue with your previous caller, there is a party that is building the grassroots and giving the individual and the MP a say in trying to do that, and that's Justin Trudeau's federal Liberals. Justin has done everything above board from the beginning, and the federal Liberal Party has given one person one vote, and that's the kind of thing we want to see in Ontario.
As opposed to what's happening now in London West.
Absolutely. That's democracy in action. It may be dirty. It may be hard to control, but it is what it is, and that's what the people of this province want to see change in politics.
What do you mean by Jack in the Box?
Well, you're kind of surprised in the first time you see it come out of the box, right?
In other words, a pop-up candidate that maybe people didn't have in mind, that somebody else has orchestrated, the party leadership has orchestrated.
I don't know how you could look at it any other way. I mean, I've read some of the press, and I see a lot of backpedaling by Scott Cordes. But you know, if he really did his due diligence since fall of last year, I'm sure he would have known, other than the last few weeks, that Ken Curran was slated for retirement at the end of June.
Well, let me just play you that clip.
That was fairly well known, and I believe it was even released on the OSSTF website.
Okay, I just want to play the clip of Scott Cordes, who, of course, is the president of the London West Liberals, when Steve Garrison asked him this morning about why this thing was kept secret till the very last moment. Here we go.
The question is an obvious one here. When Ken Curran was on the nomination, why was it kept such a secret?
I think part of it is because he still had not finished his work at the Teachers Federation, and really this has just been a fairly recent approach over the past couple of weeks. So you can talk to Ken specifically, but our understanding was that, you know, he wanted to finish his job with the teachers first before entering into the political world.
So what is protocol here? How does it work tonight?
So tonight, Ken will be put forward in front of the members as an acclamation. So he'll be nominated and seconded, and everybody votes to acclaim him. So there'll be a speech from him where he'll lay out his vision for London West and his why he wants to do what he's doing. And part of it, too, is to get people excited. And there will be a by-election sometime between today and the 15th of August. So it's a chance for us, too, to get our members excited and engaged and wanting to help elect him.
Will there be other names on his nomination tonight?
No, he's the only candidate that that our local search committee put forward for nomination.
Back to Rod Jackson, the Tory MPP, and Barry. Rod, you're quoted as saying this is a horrible mistake. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is, you know, you have Ken Corn, who's the past president of the OSSTF, who, you know, just a few months ago was railing against this government and against this leadership, saying how corrupt and untrustworthy they were and how undemocratic they were. And now you have the same guy is now being acclaimed in an undemocratic process by the party that just months ago he was railing out against for being just that. And I think people will see through that. They'll see through the fact that, you know, you have someone who, you know, generally really seemed like he despised this government a few months ago, now being hypocritical by actually running for them in an undemocratic process that he was railing out against just a few months ago. And, you know, and he's running against, you know, Ali Shabar, candidate there in London, who has gone through the democratic process, as have I, to become a candidate and then an MPP. I mean, in fact, my nomination was quite contentious. We had four or five guys running for my position, and it was probably the hardest part of getting elected.
Let me ask Dan Foster. Dan, a horrible mistake. Do you think it was a horrible mistake? And do you think the voters will recognize it as that, or do you think Ken will get elected?
Well, I want to point out that my main focus is on the lack of democratic process here and transparency, but I have to also say that on a personal level, I think this is a huge mistake, and I certainly wouldn't have voted for him if there had been a democratic process here.
Okay. Do you think he's going to win London West?
I don't know. You know, people that are a lot higher up in the know than me don't think so. I mean, I think that there was some, you know, obviously the fact that I got this information, being just a rank-and-file member, indicates that there's some kind of fracture within the local riding association, but more importantly, people that that Ken has been associated with, like Sid Ryan, have come out and said this is causing quite a stir. So, you know, I can't understand how liberals or union members can be excited about this.
Okay, Ali, I'm going to give you this opportunity, golden opportunity, because it's clear that the Tories and the NDP are absolutely salivating over our liberals throwing hand grenades at liberals. Did you want to personally thank Dan Foster for throwing the first hand grenade?
Well, I mean, say what you want to say. I think it takes a degree of conviction and courage from Dan to come out and actually do this, you know, to go public with this, because, you know, he is a member of the Liberal Party. He is, you know, obviously quite a concerned member of London West. And it takes a lot of, you know, guts to come out there and say, listen, I don't like what my party's doing. I don't like that the democratic process is being circumvented. So despite the fact that, you know, Dan and I are, you know, of different party affiliations, I do commend him on the fact that it really does take a lot of guts, because I bet you he's taken some slings and arrows over the last 72 hours or so. But he's doing it because, you know, I've heard the word grassroots come out a number of times. I've heard the word democracy come out a number of times. And that's something that's right. I mean, we share that. Whether you're PC, you're Liberal, you're NDP, that's the core essence of our democracy. So I do commend him for that.
Okay. Ali, what do you think of Kathleen Wynne convincing Ken Coran to run for the Liberals in London West?
Well, it's, you know, in one sense, I'm surprised. And in another sense, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, they've been trying to cozy up to the teachers unions ever since the leadership nomination back in February. So I'm not surprised. It's the optics are poor. It stinks. And what I've heard from and I know it's a cross section of the people, but when you knock on the door, Andy's, you get real unfiltered opinions from the people at their doorsteps there, and they're upset. They don't like the fact that you know, that their democratic rights have been circumvented here as far as the nomination process is concerned. So And it's, and just to hit on a point that Dan was saying, you know, not all unions are the same. I talked to union members at the door this weekend, and they said, you know, so what? We're part of a union. We don't necessarily follow exactly the directives that our union bosses give us. So, and even if you look in the paper today, OPSU, you know, which is a huge public sector union, gave Kathleen Wynn a grade of D, right? So not all unions, they're not a monolith. They do have some, it appears at least, some dissension within the ranks there.
Okay, we have to leave it there for this segment. We're going to continue this on the other side of the news update. I want to give a quick last comment to Rod Jackson, who's watching all of this from the outside. He's called this whole process in London West a horrible mistake. Rod, what's the horrible mistake, the process or the candidate they're bringing in?
Well, both. I mean, the process obviously is a horrible mistake. They're circumventing the democratic system and the candidate. I mean, like I said, you have someone who's incredibly hypocritical, and this will get pointed out, you know, by our party and by Ali, I'm sure, that, you know, just a few months ago, this is the worst party in the world, according to Ken Curran, and now he's running for them. And the fact that, you know, he's part of the reason he's probably, I mean, do the math. Why is he cozied up to them all of a sudden? Why all of a sudden are they best friends?
We have to leave it. We have to leave it there. Rod, we thank you so much for calling in this morning. Thank you so much. Ali, I'm sure you're going out knocking on doors again today.
I'll be leaving in less than a half hour to go at it all day.
Okay, terrific. And Dan Foster, what are your plans in this campaign? Are you going to let them duke it out? Are you going to go to the nomination meeting tonight and speak up, or are you going to just let it rest?
Well, I'm not going to let it rest, but I'm not aware of any nomination meeting officially, so... You know, I suppose my next call will be to Kim Donaldson's office, the nomination commissioner for the Ontario Liberal Party, to see why they haven't returned my calls, because I want to find out. I want to get involved in this process and find out how we can restore democracy to London West.
Dan, I appreciate the call. I appreciate your time this morning. 9:30 news update. I want to ask you, folks, on the other side of the news, what you make of just what you've heard in the last few minutes. Pretty much seems to smell from top to bottom, but that's just my point of view and those of several of the guests we've had. But here's your opportunity to speak up if you so choose. 643-1290, the lines are open. How badly does the nomination meeting tonight in London West smell? We'll be back with your calls in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Join the conversation. You can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
Like I said, you have someone who's incredibly hypocritical, and this will get pointed out, you know, by our party and by Ali, I'm sure, that, you know, just a few months ago, this is the worst party in the world, according to Ken Curran, and now he's running for them.
Wow, politics is never dull. Do tell. You're a Londoner, you're retired, you're a liberal, and you are ticked. Liberals fighting with liberals. It's not pretty in London West. Kathleen Wynne had a little tete-a-tete with Ken Curran and said, "We got possibilities, Ken. You could run in London West, you get elected there, and... we'll be looking for an education minister. So you think it was a lot of fun running the teachers' union. Why not run the whole education system? Do we have a deal? Oh, you're thinking about it. Oh, you want to do it. Oh, well, maybe we can get you a claim down there. Make sure that it doesn't get dirty and messy down there in London West, and you got some other candidate who pops up, maybe Glenn Pearson or just some other liberal who pops out of the woodwork. We wouldn't want that to happen now, would we? What do you think, folks? How much does this thing in London West smell? Let's go to the phone lines. Alan, what are your thoughts this morning?
Well, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and I'm a liberal, and I voted in London West for the nomination meetings in the past. But it's not the candidate that bothers me. At least it wouldn't if it was a democratic election. It's the process. And even if I might even vote for that candidate if it was democratic, but it's not. But you know, the Tories do this all the time. There's a lot of hypocrisy here. How do you get Tory criticism the way we do when they don't even acknowledge that they do it themselves? Didn't they do that with John Tory in the quarters, and the feds do it all the time with Harper? So that bothers me as much as the hypocrisy of the Conservatives. It bothers me as much as this bad process.
Let's talk about that. It's an acclamation. Let me just grab the release here from Scott Cordes last night. And certainly in the interview this morning, he called it an acclamation. He didn't use the word coronation, but basically, Alan,
yeah,
that's what it is.
Same thing. I don't even know where the meeting is. Do you know?
Yes, it is at the Civic Garden Center, 625 Springbank Drive. Okay. That would be just west of Wonderland Road.
I'll go there and I'll withdraw my Liberal membership.
Say that again, Alan.
I withdraw my Liberal membership. That's a disgusting process.
I mean, are you serious?
Yes. I was a union rep for years, and it was open elections every time. I got five consecutive elections throughout my career, and it was open to anybody who wanted to stand. That's the process.
Let me ask you, Alan. You know, you've already made that decision, but. Yeah. You know, people are so cynical about politics, and this just takes it to a whole new level. You got the particular candidate, and you say you don't object to the particular candidate. But here's Ken Curran, the face of the teachers' union dispute, the guy who took our kids hostage for a year and deprived them of their extracurricular activities for a whole high school year. And we don't have the numbers yet, but some kids, simply dropped out of the education system. Suddenly, he has he goes on to run for the NDP in Kitchener, Waterloo last fall. Not to run for them, but to campaign for them. Now, suddenly, he's had an epiphany. Dalton McGinney's gone, so it's all kumbaya, and he's running to represent the Liberals.
I don't have a problem with that, because I defend his right to lose an election. I don't want to vote for him for those reasons, but I would defend his right to stand. That's democracy's a bitch, isn't it?
Okay. So you don't have a problem with him switching parties and... calling the former, what did he call them? Corrupt. Corrupt. Exactly. he called the Liberals corrupt, and he had some other nasty names for them. Now he's representing them.
Yeah, no, he ought to be able to stand. And if people want to vote for him, fine. That's the democratic process.
Ah, you're all about process.
Yes.
And because the process was violated, you say you are going to ask them to tear up your membership in the Liberal Party.
Yes.
Alan, great call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Josie. Josie, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I live in London West, and I agree with you. It stinks from top to bottom, inside and out. And so does that Ken Curran, is it?
Yes.
Yes. He, if I understand correctly, he was bashing the Liberals, and now they're best buddies?
Yep.
That is so obvious. Something is so wrong with that. I don't know why anyone would vote for the Liberals.
Josie, I appreciate the call. Thanks. Thank you so much. Let's go to Pat. Pat, go ahead.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
We're good.
I'd like to know how many people, you get enough calls and emails, how many people now, as of today, you just had a caller, the gentleman, and saying that vote the Liberals, and I am a Liberal voter. I will not vote for the Liberals now. Because of this, but also from Wynne and the McGinty and whatever, I'd like to see how many people, if you could take a number, how many people are now not going to vote for Liberals in London West, number one, because of this. And I bet you the numbers have got to be phenomenal. And also because of McGinty, and I think the numbers would be just amazing. I'd like to know.
You think that Ken Curran is going to get creamed in London West?
Oh, if anybody votes for him, it's wrong, because he paid at the Liberals, he cut down the Liberals, and, you know, yes, there's, you know, a government to do their things, but I honestly think I'd like to know how many people will call in or email you saying, as of today, I will not vote for Liberals.
Well, you just heard Alan, and then there was Dan Foster, the guy who blew the whistle, and Ali Chabar, if he's to be believed, about the Liberals that he met at the door, says it was unanimous. Liberals are gagging on this process and resent a candidate being parachuted in, even though he lives in London. He's been working out of Toronto, and he's perceived as a Toronto person. He's not a guy you hear in the media locally. At all. So in that sense, very much an outsider, a guy who campaigned for the NDP in Kitchener. So yes, it's very clear that a lot of Liberals are very upset. Okay, let's go to Linda. Linda, thanks for waiting.
Yes, I guess Kathleen Wynne is taking heed to the old adage to keep your friends close and your enemies closer. This isn't the first time in recent history now that the provincial Liberals have done something like this. At the beginning of the announcement of the end of the Slots at Racetrack program, John Snowbleton, who had been a Conservative MP under Mike Harris, who put the Slots at Racetrack program in, was very vocal about what a terrible decision it was and what the impact on the economy would be. And so the Liberals hired him to be part of a transition panel and pay him to spout things that say horse racing is being fixed. It's just the way the system works. I feel bad for people who get elected as MPs or MPPs. And sorry, John Snowbleton was an MPP. But I think that they go there with good intentions, and when they get there, they're just told to, you're not allowed to vote your conscience. You're not allowed to vote what your constituents want. You just have to follow the party line. And I don't know what can be done to fix it, but something needs to be done.
Linda, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Let's go to Robert. Robert, go ahead.
Hi, Andy. I kind of agree with a couple of the last points by your last caller. I actually don't even view what we have as democracy anymore. I think the parties are authoritarian in nature, and I think they're a firewall between the people and an actual democratic government. And I just think a lot of people are in denial about this, and we have to realize that this is the way they are. They've become authoritarian in their parties, and they govern that way. And we don't have democracy at all. It's just a show. It's all for show.
Robert, I think you have just articulated what we hear consistently from our callers. People have become so cynical about the entire political process.
And not to mention the corruption. Like, there's the authoritarians on the other side, and then you've got, like, what I think is a fully corrupt government from the inside and out.
Well, when they're willing to spend $600 million, waste $600 million, can you believe it, on moving those gas plants just to get some Liberals elected, doesn't get more cynical.
Blows me away. Yeah. Blows me away.
Robert, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Diane. Diane, go ahead.
Yeah, Andy, I wish they would call election because I saw in the Free Press on the weekend that I think it's 5 by-elections we'll have, and they're $485,000 each. So pretty soon that's going to add up to a full-fledged or more than what it cost us for an election, and then maybe we'd have some good candidates that we could start voting on. If I was a teacher, and I'm not, but if I was a teacher, I'd be livid, because isn't this the gentleman who represented them, their leader, their union rep, pardon me, and wouldn't let them do the extracurricular activities, and so all these kids had to suffer?
He's our boy.
Yeah, and now I think that they're hoping that they'll get the support of the teachers. If I was a teacher, I'd hang them and tar and feather them. I hope the teachers wake up to this, because if he gets in, I think he's going to be harder on them than anybody else would ever be on them. So I hope that this will finally break the Liberals. And I don't care who else gets in anymore. The Liberals are so corrupt. I don't care. I don't even know if I'll vote this time, because I'm getting so upset with the way the whole election process is.
Diane, do you suspect that Ken Curran has been promised the job of education minister?
Oh, yes. And I wouldn't be one bit surprised if, the whole thing went on, even with the teachers before. They were already in cahoots with them. That's not nice, because I don't know. I haven't got any facts. But anymore, the Liberals are not being truthful with us, so why should we believe anything that they say?
What do you object to more, Diane, the process that the London West Liberals are using in bringing in Ken Curran, or the candidate?
The candidate really vexes me, but it has to be the process. It's not fair. If they had some other good leaders who could maybe represent that area, and they're having that taken away from them. That's, you know, women fought for the vote for so many years, and this just seems like what they did to the women. And now, but it's to everybody. Nobody has a chance to vote who's a card-carrying member of that Liberal Party to put a representative ahead.
Diane, great call as always. Appreciate it so much. Let's go to Roger and then Paul McKeever from the Freedom Party. Roger, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. You know, this just tells me that Catherine Wynne appointing this guy is just another Dalton McGuinty doing the same thing. The corrupt nature of the Liberal Provincial Party is obvious and clear. And if people in London West don't get that, I don't know why we have elections. We may as well just let her do what she wants from top to bottom.
Dalton with a skirt on. I've said it all along. Thanks for the call, Roger. Paul McKeever is the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario, and he joins us. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Andy. Very, very worrying. I'll tell you, it's not just about the fact that the Liberals are willing to turn the education ministry over to effectively the unions by putting this fella in, if that's what happens. There's another element to this. We've seen Sid Ryan today in the newspaper saying that having this fella in at London West as a candidate changes the equation. He was going to be campaigning, having the unions campaign for the NDP there, and now it looks like they may just have the unions turn out in force in London West. This is very worrying, because I'll tell you, during the summer, they say that summers are good times for incumbents. They're good because the parties hold, you know, they have lists, they'll call on those voters who they know will vote for them and for their candidate, and they will ignore everybody else. And when everybody else is out at the cottage and the unions are voting, it's pretty much a bought and paid for thing, much like your one of your callers said a couple calls ago. He doesn't feel like it's a real democracy anymore. This by-election will be largely won by about 700 or more union workers on the ground on voting day, getting out people that are on their lists and discouraging basically anybody else from voting by holding it in the middle of the summer.
We understand that Kathleen Wynne is going to make the announcement of the by-election date tomorrow, that it'll be August the 1st, summer election. You think Ken Curran, controversial as his choice is, will take it?
I think that there's certainly going to be a lot of union support trying to make that happen. Just imagine it, the unions having as their boy in at the head of the union, or sorry, head of the Ministry of Education. This is a chance they can't afford to miss. I think you're going to see in London West the unions coming out not in favor of the NDP, but in favor of Ken Curran. And I'll just put our own plug in there. Al Goretzky is going to be the guy opposing that. He's our candidate in London West.
Okay. Now, do you think unions generally will support Ken Curran, or the teachers specifically, and not other unions who object to the process?
Well, you know, I think Labor pretty much sticks together. And, you know, when you got this kind of power, keep in mind, education ministry represents the second biggest expenditure in the province. Education and health care together, the money spent on education and health care use up 100% of Ontario tax revenue. There's other revenues, you know, money that comes in from the federal government. But those two things alone represent 100% of provincial tax revenues. So when you've got the unions in charge of one of the two largest ministries, you have got just a complete shift in the power in this province, from to the extent that it still exists with the non-union folks or with the teachers themselves. It's not the teachers, it's the unions who run them.
Let me just go back to you, what you said about Sid Ryan. What was your quote about Sid Ryan?
Well, Sid Ryan's in the paper today saying that, you know, Ken Curran running in London West changes the equation in terms of who the unions are going to back in that riding. And so, you know, I can see with, you know, this is a tasty little morsel for Sid and his boys. We put our guy in there as the head of the Liberal. It doesn't matter that he's a Liberal. He's the head of the education ministry. Maybe we ought to put our workforce to work for him in London West and just hold our nose about the Liberal thing.
Politics. Never boring. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Let's go to Rick. Rick, go ahead.
You know, the thing, Andy, sort of the ironical part about it is that this Curran there was the union leader. You know, he's not even sure. These teachers are already lost their democracy there, their rights, because I know school teachers that no way were ever in favor of keeping those kids out of sports and so forth. And now they don't even have, they're not even allowed to vote who they want to represent them in that riding now.
Rick, I appreciate the call. Short break. We'll be back to wrap it up. If you want to weigh in on what is happening in London West, I'm holding my nose. Actually, I'm kind of glad that Ken Curran is running, because I am going to have so much fun over the next few weeks talking about the man who took our kids hostage. And I'll be able to give him more noogies than I would have if he weren't running. This ought to be fun. Great day for talk radio. We'll be back in just a moment with more right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJVK.
To date information, here's Andy Udman.
They have been knocking on doors all weekend, and the message I'm hearing from liberals is unanimous. They are upset, they are disgruntled, and they have told me in no uncertain terms that they will not be voting Liberal this by-election. This is coming from Liberals who have voted Liberal in the last three elections. They said they're not doing it this time.
Feeling as though the Premier's office parachuted Ken Curran into the candidacy, London West Liberal Party member Dan Foster says this doesn't look good with the Liberals and the high school teachers striking a deal on contracts.
The optics here are amazing. I can't even believe that someone thinks that this is a good idea.
The Premier's office, however, maintains choosing a candidate is a local process. The Tories are scratching their heads at this choice.
He wrote a confidential memo to the OSSTF stating that he was responsible for bringing Premier McGuinty down.
MPP Rod Jackson underlines his party is ready to fight in all five upcoming by-elections.
And the latest word this morning is that on this Tuesday morning is that the Premier, Kathleen Wynne, will announce tomorrow morning. That's the speculation. That we will have a by-election in London in early August. We had a lively discussion on the air earlier this morning on the show between 9 and 10 o'clock about what I'm calling a smelly nomination meeting in London West tonight. And we had a number of people on the air discussing it, a number of call-ins, a number of guests with the Tory Party, with the Liberal Party. Dan, the man from the Liberal Party, who blew the whistle on his fellow Liberals, saying the whole process was undemocratic. It was the process that people really, really objected to. And then there were some who objected to the candidate, Ken Curran, who is the poster boy for teachers' unions. Now, the one voice we did not have on this morning, and I'm delighted that we have connected with her now, is Peggy Sadler, the NDP candidate in London West. She joins us now. Peggy, appreciate you joining us.
Good morning, Andy.
Oh, the messy world of politics. Do you really want to get into this world, Peggy?
I do. I want to be a strong voice for the people of London West and address the issues that matter most to families.
Of course, you come over from the school board where things are much more polite, shall we say.
We've had our differences of opinion at the school board, but, you know, through a process of healthy debate and discussion, we're able to come up with decisions that address the needs of students.
Tell me your thoughts, Peggy, on what's happening in London West tonight.
I can't really speak about the Liberal nomination process. I know in the New Democratic Party we value local democracy and grassroots participation. I myself fought a hotly contested nomination. There were four candidates seeking to represent the NDP. I worked hard through the month of March and April and May, and spoke to every member of the party, or attempted to speak to every member of the riding association, to talk about why I was seeking the nomination and why I felt I could represent their concerns at Queen's Park.
Okay, but that being said, Peggy, and I appreciate your taking the high road on this, but everybody is weighing in on what's happening in London West, and we have a lot of Liberals who are very disgruntled. In fact, I just want to put you on hold for just a moment and play the clips of Dan Foster, who is the Liberal, and this is so unusual for Liberals to be attacking Liberals. This is a long-time loyal Liberal, but here is some of what he had to say about what is happening in London West tonight. Wow, politics is never dull. Do tell. You're a Londoner, you're retired, you're a Liberal, and you are ticked.
Now we found out this week that they're going to parachute a candidate in for us on July 2nd. Yeah, what I'm being told, my sources, is that Ken Curran, who is, you'll know, as the current president of the OSSTF, who ironically, his term expires in that position June of 2013. The optics here are amazing. I can't even believe that someone thinks that this is a good idea.
So there it is, the comments, Peggy, from a Liberal about the way the Liberals are handling this nomination meeting tonight. And Dan went on to say he objects primarily to the process. but also to the candidate who unreservedly bashed the Liberal Party under Dalton McGuinty and calling it corrupt and lots of other nasty names. So I'm just wondering what you're thinking, Peggy, watching all of this, not from the sidelines, but at least from the outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw with the decision to relocate the gas plants, regardless of the cost to the public, that the Liberals were prepared to do whatever it took to save the seats. And I think that what we're seeing here in London West is something similar. They tried campaigning against the teachers in Kitchener-Waterloo. That didn't work. And so now they're taking another approach in London West.
What does that say about the Liberals to have someone who bashed them unreservedly? He was the enemy. He was the union leader they fought with for a year. He was the union leader who took our kids hostage and deprived them of their extracurricular activities, as you know all too well, having such an avid interest in education. And now, all of a sudden, he's their candidate with rumors that he's been promised the role of education minister. How does that make you feel?
I think he'll have a lot of explaining to do at the door. I mean, I think that this is something that that he himself has to address. You know, I think from the public's perspective, it does appear to be this kind of cynical backroom, you know, politics, that the same old politics with back old boy deal making and things that makes people feel cynical about the political process, and it really does ignore some of the real issues that I'm hearing at the doorstep, issues around access to home care, issues about jobs with the high unemployment rates in London. You know, now we're number one in Canada in terms of high unemployment, and this it just is what gives politics a bad name.
Okay, but is it real? Is it justified? Should we feel this cynical about politics, especially reading in the Globe and Mail on Saturday that the Premier personally convinced Ken Curran to carry the Liberal banner in London West with a suspicion that she's promised him plum at the other end, namely becoming the education minister? Instead of running the teachers' unions, he would run the education system.
I think people should feel cynical, absolutely. I think this is the same old politics that we've seen way too much of, and it's just ignoring the real challenges that people face in London West. And we saw the NDP, a small number of elected representatives at Queen's Park, really commit to doing what was needed to identify the highest priority issues for the people in the province, rolling up their sleeves and doing whatever was necessary to make minority government work and get results that address the real needs of families and communities in the province.
Peggy, let me ask you how you assess the chances of the NDP winning London West.
I think the chances are very good. I'm getting a very positive response at the doorstep. People really do want to change. They are tired of this, you know, the same old politics of the past. They see me as a very credible leader who's worked hard in the community and has delivered results at the school board level.
Okay, got the running shoes on. You're banging on the doors already?
Oh, absolutely. I've been out there for a month.
So how many doors have you hit so far?
Hundreds of doors, and we have hundreds of signs ready to go up the instant that the writ is dropped, likely tomorrow.
Peggy, your job's a little bit similar to mine. I knock on a little doors and invite people to share their attitudes, and I never know what they're going to say. But is there a theme in what you're hearing?
The theme is really a hungering for greater accountability from the people that they elect. They want to elect people who are committed to hearing, to listening to the concerns that are affecting them in their day-to-day lives, and who are committed to taking action on those concerns and getting results. So certainly accountability, not just financial accountability, although that's huge, but just sort of accountability in terms of effectively advocating stating and representing them and their concerns.
How often did you hear the phrase gas plant?
quite a bit.
Chris Bentley's left quite a legacy in London West.
Yeah, and in many ways, London West is kind of ground zero for all of the problems that the Liberal government has had in the last little while. All of the, you know, it's where all of the Liberal mismanagement comes home to roost, because it was the gas plants that triggered Chris Bentley's resignation of the 1,000 cancer patients who received watered-down chemotherapy drugs. Over half of them, 600, live in London. The unemployment rate, London has the highest unemployment rate in the country. So London West really is where the rubber hits the road in terms of, people's desire for some kind of accountability and interest in holding the Liberals to account for their management of the province over the last 10 years.
So, Peggy, the way you could look at it is, my goodness, this would be like walking into Cornell's fruit farm, cherry orchard, and just picking the votes off the trees into your big basket there. I mean, you got the gas plant fiasco, you got the cancer fiasco, you got the high unemployment rate, and now you got this messy Liberal nomination meeting. I mean, you must be salivating.
I have a long record of public service at the school board. I've been at it for 13 years, as well as holding down a professional career as a community-based researcher who's worked with a lot of local organizations. I have always been interested in advocating on behalf of the issues that are concern to people. So what I want most of all is to talk to people at the doorsteps about why I believe I can effectively represent their concerns and advocate on their behalf, and point out some of these issues that have caused so much chaos in the province over the last little while, in public education, in healthcare, in the economy.
Okay, Peggy, let's get you warmed up for the debate with Ken Curran. You're going to be on stage with him, I'm sure, having various debates. What would you say, Peggy, before we let you go, what would you say to Mr. Curran about his journey to this particular position, the candidate for London West in the upcoming by-election?
It's not really about the candidate. It's really about the Liberals' record of management or mismanagement of the province. So I would ask Mr. Curran, just as I would ask anybody who's representing the Liberal Party, how they can justify that misuse of public resources, scarce public resources, on cynical political, purposes, like to win those seats, and which cost taxpayers $600 million of public money. So he has to explain and justify those decisions.
And when he says to you, Peggy, I just want to remind you that it was the NDP and the Tories who wanted us to do this, so we finally agreed.
It was the lack of process in the selection of the sites in the first place, and as government, one would expect the government to have a proper assessment of what the costs were. The NDP has put in place the Financial Accountability Office to ensure that reckless decisions like that can't be made again by any other government.
Peggy, back to pounding doors. Much easier on the radio, though, isn't it? You can just sit in your chair in your kitchen and talk to all those good people, but I guess the votes are one by one. Is that how you view it?
I absolutely view it that way. I think the voters deserve some respect, and I'm determined to talk to as many voters as I can so that I can have that one-on-one dialogue. And, once they meet me, I think that they know that I'm the kind of person who is committed to taking action on their behalf and getting results for families in this community.
Peggy, a pleasure talking to you. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go to the phones now. Tony, what do you make of what you just heard?
Well, I just heard that an NDP candidate admit that they're a community-based organizer. That's Barack Obama all over. That's exactly how he described himself. And she's going to be a good soldier, and make sure that her people vote liberal in this writing like they do all over. And we've got one party, really, of thugs, liberal NDP, against a kind of hapless, poor bunch of conservatives who are just honest mugs. And but the only thing that we do not insist is that we make it criminal for governments to do what Dalton McGinney did, and just move that plant irregardless of the cost. No party wants to make these things illegal. We have it. You know, we're all guilty of gross stupidity.
And when they say, oh, that was the previous government of Dalton McGinty, who is now gone, you would say...
Oh, well, no, we're just getting more of the same.
Yeah,
because they will not really criminalize the things that we know are all totally wrong.
McGinty with a pantsuit on. Short break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. The lines are open, 643-1290. Love to hear from you right here on London's News Talk Station, CJBK.
Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
Now we found out this week that they're going to parachute a candidate in for us on July 2nd. The optics here are amazing. I can't even believe that someone thinks that this is a good idea.
Well, Dan Foster, liberal, who's thrown a hand grenade into this nomination meeting tonight. Deb Matthews will be there. Chris Bentley will be there to more or less hand the reins over for the London West Liberals from his tenure to Ken Curran, who will be feisty tonight. Believe me, he speaks his mind. He's a top gun. He's not bashful. He's not shy. And I'm asking you to be the same. 643-1290. Harry, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, Andy, I have to respond. Whenever I hear an NDP candidate in particular discuss, your last caller was quite eloquent in the interview. However, she mentioned the word, you know, essentially going to bat for families and many times. And I say to myself, you know, the NDP that is fully supportive of abortion on demand, full funding of abortion, sex ed in the schools, full funding for daycare. Like, what's left, Andy? It would be really nice to hear, what is she going to do for families? Because I have a wonderful family that I love dearly, and the NDP has done nothing for us. And I don't really want them to do anything for us, because essentially their social destruction of the family unit, many different interpretations of it, has been no benefit to any family, Andy.
I think when I hear Andrea Horvath, family is probably the word that I hear most. Working people and families, all about families. You make some very good points. Appreciate the call. We're coming down to the bottom of the hour, 11:30 news update. When we come back, very interesting segue to get that call about families. I want to ask you about a story which I found absolutely fascinating about a new law in China, which to me was sort of a modern reincarnation of the fifth of the Ten Commandments. Do you know what it is? Do you know your Ten Commandments? Do you know the Judeo-Christian Ten Commandments? Number five, honor your father and your mother. It's interesting, the first four are all about your relationship to God. The last six are about your relationship with your neighbor. And before they get to the nasty one about murder and don't go around killing people, there's one that's even more important, and that is honor your father and your mother. I always took that one very, very seriously, and now the Chinese government is doing the same, making a law, imagine this, that you must contact your parents, your aging parents, regularly. How you enforce that, I don't know. I admire the spirit of it. But is it warranted? I want to get your thoughts. What about a law that you must honor your mother and father?